And hello, listeners. Welcome to Business IQ Radio, coming to you on 105.1 WBNH here in the heart of Bedford, New Hampshire. And an interesting topic today, and something that affects all of us, which is sleep. And let me just turn to my friend and co-host, Andrea O'Brien from the Small Business Development Center at the University of New Hampshire, and say, Andrea, do you sleep well?
Well, that depends on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Some of which, you know, is the room the right temperature?
Yeah.
Is there a lot of stimulation in the room? What did I have for dinner? How late did I eat? And how comfortable is my bedding?
Yeah, I mean, I notice people that I work with, there are a lot of people who, yeah, it's not uncommon to say you look tired, or somebody will at 10 o'clock or 10:30 say, I really need to get a cup of coffee. And I think that's indicative of a deeper issue, which we're going to probe today, which is, you know, what is the relationship between good sleep, productivity in business, and general health and wellness, including the fabrics and materials that we sleep on, which, you know, as I researched this topic, I found out has a lot to do with it. And then you were telling me off air a little bit your concerns around family members and people who are a little bit older. You were talking about this whole thing with millennials, right?
Right. So, you know, I mean, what a difference a good night's sleep makes for everybody. And, you know, between having teenagers that don't go to bed at night and don't get up in the morning, you know, my spouse has allergies. And is
mine as well.
Every morning he wakes up, I get the allergy report. I'm stuffed up, or I'm not stuffed up, or I slept well, or I didn't sleep well. You know, it's the first thing we kind of realize when we wake up. How, you know, am I ready to tackle the world?
And that's
not
exactly the point, which is, if you don't get a good jump start, how do you expect to be productive? I think a lot of people, and yeah, let's face it, we all stretch. We all try to do more than we possibly can, and we do it over extended periods of time. No one's working an 8-hour day anymore. The idea of, starting work at 9 and being home at 5 to sit down to have dinner is a fabric of the, you know, just part of the fables of the past in the 1950s, I think.
That's right. And, you know, the whole industry of wellness is important, but I think it's important to the baby boomers, but the millennials really get it and demand it in their products and for themselves. I know, you know, the millennials that I know care about organic. They care about social responsibility and sustainable products that don't pollute and don't pollute themselves.
And are enduring. They last. They don't have to be thrown away. Planned obsolescence is not part of the equation. So this is our guest today will be Emily Aborn from Tucked In Organics over in the Amherst area. I did do a little bit of research on this topic of sleep to just indicate the business implications of this. And it was staggering. According to the National Highway Safety Board, over the past 5 years, 1.3 million automobile accidents have been attributed to people falling asleep at the wheel or being fatigued drivers. Coffee is the second most widely sold commodity after oil in the world.
I mean, if you think about that, how could a bitter-tasting brown liquid be the second most?
Yeah.
Because everybody likes their morning buzz.
Yeah, that's right. The Center for Disease Control estimates that because of the loss of sleep, the impact on the U.S. economy is $63 billion, and one-third of U.S. workers get less than 6 hours of sleep a night, where the recommended amount is 7 to 9 hours, depending upon your age. As you get a little bit older, you need a little bit less. But, you know, the impact is staggering. The same study estimates that it's $1,967 per employee is lost in productivity because of fatigue and lack of proper sleep. So, I mean, from a business standpoint, this is an issue that managers have to come to grips with.
Yeah, well, you know, and the electronic world that we live in does not is not conducive to our sleep patterns.
Well, that's a good point. Then I think we should ask our guest a little bit about this topic, because I know that there is some light sensitivity that mm-hmm. That people have. And I'll be curious. I'm sure that she gets asked to help people design a sleep-friendly bedroom, I guess would be the way to say it. I'd be curious as to what she might say if we ask her that question. What are the do's and don'ts for setting things up?
I mean, there's nothing nicer at the end of a long, hard day, you know, to put your head on that pillow and kind of let all those thoughts go.
Yeah, and that is what some of the studies would say. The studies will say that you need to give yourself 10 or 15 minutes in the morning to wake up and adjust, and you need to give yourself about 20 minutes to calm down and shed all of the responsibilities and thoughts that you have to reach that position where you can actually fall asleep. Mm. And it's a challenge, because people are living 24-hour days. As we live more in cyberspace, you know, email and Instagram and Facebook and it's hard to get away.
And we aren't a gregarian society anymore. Most of us sit at desks. We may not get enough exercise, you know, get rid of that kind of muscle tension that builds up over the course of the day.
Yeah, I was running a company, and we had a bunch of salespeople in a general area, and they were just in a bunch of cubicles. I actually had to pass a rule that they were not allowed to email each other a question. They actually had to stand up, walk 3 feet, and talk to the person, because everybody takes this passive-aggressive manner of doing things. Hmm. And it really changed the dynamic and the relationship between people, because when you had to actually look somebody in the eye, the conversation takes a different direction, takes a different tone.
Right. That's so interesting.
The other thing that I found pretty interesting, and I thought that the listeners might find this interesting as well, is that, again, from that same Center for Disease Control study that I was talking about before, there is a clear relationship, and I think this is intuitively obvious, a clear relationship between the number of accidents that occur for people who are well-rested versus those who aren't. And in fact, the study showed that on average, for per 100 workers, there was an average of 2.27 accidents per 100 workers of people who were well-rested. That number rose to almost 8 accidents, so 4 times more accidents per 100 people for people who admitted to getting less than 5 hours sleep a day.
Wow.
And this is not a problem that's unique to the U.S. It's a big issue, I know, internationally. I've done a bunch of international travel. And part of the problem is that if you're over there and you're being hosted by somebody and they're keeping these extended hours, you really expect it to keep the same kind of extended hours with them. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sure that you see this even in your clients, because you deal with a lot of startups. And, you know, part of the enthusiasm and the drive that you have as an entrepreneur getting going is, you know, you want to be up and on the job all the time. You're driven. And I'm sure you must see, I'm guessing a lot of these people are fatigued.
It's chronic multitasking, but also a lot of startups actually have jobs that they're working, and they start the company, you know, when they're not at work.
Good point.
And or sometimes they have the second shift job so they can work on their company first shift. And it's, you know, it just it's kills their productivity.
It really does. So the last little bit of outside evidence I'll bring in to just reinforce the significance and let our listeners know why we thought this would be an interesting topic is that two of the top 10 issues contributing to poor sleep, number two on the list of top 10 was a poor sleep environment, meaning that you didn't have a place that was quiet and comfortable, but also was allergy-free. And the allergies had not only to do with the ones that we may sense in terms of dust and mites like this, but even general noise. There are some people who get quite used to white noise. I grew up in New York City, and I was very used to hearing fire engines and trucks like this going by all hours of the day, and you tend to ignore that. It's not an issue. And then number eight on the list is exposure to irritants and chemicals. And so two of the top 10 contributors to poor sleep, a poor sleep environment, and exposure to irritants like dust and chemicals. Just amazing.
And not to be flip, but I'll tell you something else that really is disruptive to sleep. A house full of teenagers. Nothing kills a good night's sleep than people banging around in the middle of the night. Yeah. I was going to play for you my alarm ringtone, but I don't think I know how to. It's too bad I can't do it. It's,
well, as
so
you're
beautiful.
Trying to figure that out, I'll also say to our listeners, I want to thank all of you who do take the time to send us your notes and comments. Of course, you can email us at BizIQ. That's BIZIQ Radio. BizIQ Radio, all one word, at gmail.com. So BizIQRadio@gmail.com. You can pick up our podcast if you like this show, you want to have someone else listen to it, or you'd like to hear some of the other ones we've done. To get a sense of what we've done, you can go to look up through any of the search engines, WBNH 1051. So don't put the dot there, 1051.podbean.com. So you can find us if you go to podbean.com, look for WBNH, the Business IQ Radio Show. You can always, of course, post a message on the radio station's Facebook page at WBNH Bedford Radio. So why don't we begin? Our guest is here, Emily Aborn. And Emily, welcome to 105.1 Business IQ Radio. We're happy to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, you and I met in a business setting. And what occurred to me was that you're really one of, I think, a growing number of people that are looking to be the intersection of business productivity, health, you know, a cleaner environment, all coming together and building on each other. And, you know, as we discussed in the beginning of the show between Andrea and I, sleep is a challenge for everybody. There are a lot of statistics that are talking about this. And I think, Andrea, you were saying that this is something that you're well aware of in terms of you, like many people, feel fatigued at different times of the day, and sleep is an issue. So
absolutely. And you know, what I find so amazing is, first of all, you look so well rested. I need to know what your tips are, because a good night's sleep, you know, there's nothing that replaces that for that inner kind of inner shine, if you will.
I do sleep very well.
Well, let's begin maybe by learning a little bit about you. Are you a native New Hampshire person, or tell us a little bit about how you got into this very interesting business of, you know, intersection of sleep and health and really the benefits of that, both in personal life and in business?
All right. Well, I was born in Maine, but I moved to New Hampshire when I was 9, so I'm sort of like a native.
What town?
I was born in Brunswick, Maine.
Okay.
And then I have lived in New Hampshire. I lived in North Carolina and Ohio for a hot second each. And this is, you know, where I'm, this is my home. I went to school for health education, and that's really where my background is health education and nutrition. So I've done a lot of workshops in the health field, and I actually got into the field that I'm in because I had a lot of trouble sleeping, and I also had a bad allergic reaction to a mattress that I owned.
Hmm. Yeah, and that's certainly one of the things that we'd like to learn a little bit more about. As I said, you know, I think you're one of a growing number of people. We see this even in the Farm to Fork initiative, where they're trying to look at organic food, locally grown, this movement of understanding that if we're not healthy, we can't be effective at work or in our personal life. It just makes so much sense, and you wonder why it took people so long to realize it.
I think it's becoming more and more apparent as things are becoming worse and worse for us in our environment.
You know, and all of the pressures of our daily life, including electronics, the use of electronics that always, you know, we're always on.
Yes.
I mean, to turn that off and kind of come to a calm state before bedtime or at the end of the day is very important.
You're right. We have never seen electronic use from adults to the level that we are today. So that definitely is a reason people are having a hard time sleeping.
You know, somebody told me that if human eye has a very limited range in terms of what it could see, if we could see all of the electronic noise that were in all of the rooms we're in, from Wi-Fi to broadcast to radar to radio to everything, that just passing through us at any point in time, we're awash in electronics. We're being bombarded by radiation all the time.
Or not even the radiation. So I have a college student who for his first year just suffered with insomnia. And, you know, that shifting sleep pattern where you couldn't get to sleep until 2 or 3 or 4 and then had to get up for morning class, I think it ruined his health last year. And in part, you know, I kept saying to him, don't get on your iPad. Put your phone down. And he said, Mom, it's okay. I've got a special setting on my phone that changes the color of the light, which is supposed to. Have you heard of that?
Yes. It turns it to a red light, I think.
Yeah, you have to avoid blue light. Yeah, right. Yeah.
You have to avoid blue light. Mine turns yellow. But it's imperative, I think, that we turn off that electronic stimulation. And I've also heard that in your bedroom, make that a sanctuary.
Yes. That's the biggest thing I preach to people.
Tell me about how would you approach coaching someone?
Well, one thing I've noticed is that a lot of people's bedrooms are the catch-all zone. So they have their office in there. They have their coat closet in there. They have their linen closet in there. And papers from, you know, bringing in the mail, they just stack them all up on their night table. So if you think about when you're trying to go to sleep and you want it to be your brain is shutting down and doesn't have to have all of the stimulus from earlier in the day, and then you have all of these stimulus all around you all the time, it can make for a very difficult sleep environment. Right. People sleep with televisions in their bedroom. I think that's a big, I think it's hard for you to get to sleep when you have a television in your room, and I also think it contributes to you maybe waking up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, we banned a TV in our room.
Oh. Smart.
We just reintroduced it for exactly one thing, which is we now try to watch a YouTube meditation video as we wake up and as we go to sleep at night now.
Hmm. Very nice. That's a good use for it.
Yeah. And it takes a while for the brain to both warm up, as they say, as well as for us all to let go of things.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't mean to interrupt you. You're sort of leading us into, so what are sort of the secrets to getting a good sleeping environment? And I know that allergies and things like this are big issues as well, right?
Yeah, I would say that's another factor, is making sure that the air environment in your room is good. So having allergen-free bedding, natural colors, natural fibers. And then something I love is I have a little diffuser in my room that I use essential oils. And so I'll put something calming, not like lemon oil, which could be like stimulating, but like lavender or a blend called Peace and Calming. So I find those to be very relaxing.
Yeah. And I assume also that there's a role for music to be played in the background. Probably not Metallica or the Ramones.
But
something a little easier.
Have you heard of whole tones?
No.
Okay. So on my Facebook feed, occasionally I get this ad for whole tones. And I click on it, of course, because it talks about sleep and how these whole tones are really supposed to help that along. You should check it out.
That sounds awesome. I will check that out.
It's not really music so much as it is, you know, kind of this sequence of tones.
I have used in the past something called a yoga nidra, which is like a meditation that kind of just walks you through relaxing like every single part of your body. And that will sometimes be to very nice music. So if I wake up in the middle of the night, I do one of two things. I either listen to one of those and then I'm out like a light in minutes. Or I use this little trick where I picture the color black and I just count down from 100 to 1. And sometimes you have to do it a couple of times because your brain wants to do everything else but focus on being relaxed. But I found that really works for me too.
Now, you and I met in a retail setting, and we'll talk at the end. We'll talk a little bit about your store. But do people come in complaining about a lack of sleep? Is that what draws them in? Because, as I said, you're really the intersection of sort of natural fibers and other, I guess, less invasive, less harmful to the body kind of materials, but really with a focus on sleep. So I'm sort of interested in terms of how do people find you?
I think everyone that comes in really holds sleep as a high value. some people come in because they have a reaction to some sort of not natural material that's in their current bed, or they know they don't want to get a new bed that has that in it. And some people come in because of actually like body pain that's keeping them awake, you know, headaches, backaches, even leg pain and things like that. So I kind of see a wide array of reasons that people come in. All, of course, though, the bottom line, I want a better night's sleep.
And as you said, you're actually also trained in nutrition, and that's got to be an element. You don't eat late, right?
Right.
And you don't, and you watch out for stimulants.
Yes, like caffeine. And some people are not affected by it at all. It's shocking to me.
Oh, because, you know, when I was younger, I could, a nice cup of coffee before bed was great, and now even a decaf might make it difficult.
Even just thinking about coffee late at night keeps me up.
So are there new products coming out in this field?
So a lot of people come in and say to me, oh, you sell foam beds. And I think that what I do sell is not a new product. It's actually a very old product. So we use our mattresses are made of things like natural rubber. And that is, it's completely the opposite of foam, the way that it feels, what it's made of. But that is sort of what foam replaced. So foam is the new product. I'm going kind of back to nature and the roots.
Does it last a long time?
I have seen a 50-year-old piece of natural rubber, and it did not look any different than what I have in my store.
So they go the distance. They're environmentally good, too. They stay out of landfills because they don't need to be replaced every 10 years. That's very good. That's great.
And I assume that keeping them clean is a little bit easier then, because that periodically you're going to have some buildup of dust and mites and things like this. So, you know, I know that until recently, every 6 to 9 months we throw out our pillows just for that exact reason. And I'm guessing that these new categories of products that you're talking about, they're durable. So in some sense, the investment you make in them, you get a good payback because they last a long time, right?
Dust mites actually like really hot, moist environments, and a lot of the more natural fibers are breathable, and dust, it's like Antarctica to dust mites. They want to get out.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's amazing how many people have allergies. They don't even realize that they have allergies to these items. I mean, I don't have any pets in my home, partially because we know that we do have allergies to both cat and dog hair. And I'm just happy that I don't, because it's tough to deal with, tough to manage that.
Talk about a hindrance to your sleep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I do understand that for some people it's very comforting to have old Fido crawl up into bed with you, but it's just not my thing. But there are a lot of people for whom it's good. All of you dog lovers out there listening to Business IQ Radio here on 105.1 WBNH, we understand that that's certainly a role. And my neighbors across the street, they just lost one of their pets. It's like losing a family member. So it's very, very difficult. But it does have implications in terms of sleep and just the way in which your house runs, because it's another member of that family community in some sense.
Exactly. I love my dog, but he definitely interrupts my sleep sometimes with his little click, 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 click on the floor, you know?
So for individuals looking to maximize their performance, we know that sleep is, you know, it has long lasting health implications. And I don't know if it plays a part in your immune system, which can play a part, I've heard, in cancer, you know, occurrences. That's part of an immune system not response.
Reaction,
yeah. Exactly. So what other things besides getting a great night's sleep should we all think about as to maximize our performance out there?
Exercise, exposing yourself to sunlight. And exposing yourself to sunlight, natural sunlight, helps you get a better night's sleep and helps you break those materials down that you're eating and create better energy.
I did not know that.
Well, this is where this is the controversy. My daughter is a pharmacist, and she tells me, gee, Dad, you spend all this money on these vitamins. They're water soluble. They're going to wash out of your system. You're lucky if you actually retain about 10% of the dosage because they just come right through your system, whereas natural sunlight giving you vitamin D, for example, and I think that's one of the things that we all suffer from is a vitamin D deficiency, especially living here in the Northeast, right?
Yeah, exactly.
When we cover up all winter long and we just, you know, run from the car to the office. And, you know, speaking of offices, sitting at a desk all day is just not, you know, when I take an inventory of how many hours I have been at my desk, it's disturbing.
I know. I've been reading all of this that says, well, fortunately, I was working at a desk job a couple of years ago, and I used to read everything about how bad it was to sit at a desk. But I hear you.
Do you think we should continue this interview standing up? Just
yes, let's
just
stand.
I think the two of you should absolutely
let's do jumping jacks because, too while we talk.
Because, you know, I've heard of these standing desks.
I really want
they have
one
them
of
at
those.
The university. All of the classrooms in the universities. When I go into class on Friday mornings, they're all cranked up. Somebody, the person before me lectures standing up.
Oh, wow.
I crank it right down.
Very, but yeah, no, so standing up or even office chairs where it requires some core muscles to keep balanced. Have you?
I really want one of those. I don't have one yet. I kind of move around a lot where I am so I don't get stuck sitting in one place.
Because to me, that would be a product that I would love to go try some of those chairs. I wonder where we can find those.
Brookstone?
Oh, Brookstone, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. Along that line, the other part of it, as we were just talking about in terms of light, sitting in front of a computer screen all day isn't good for you either. I've noticed that even my eyesight has deteriorated over time. And I have to, you know, I mean, getting a little bit older, but I'm just wondering, is it contributed to by the strain, the eye strain of spending your whole day, 8 or more hours a day, locked in one-on-one? Your closest interaction is with this electronic device, as we were talking about.
Well, you know, I don't want to go too crazy, but...
Oh, go ahead, Andrea.
Okay. Go crazy.
A few generations ago, people did not sit at desks for their adult life, like many of us do now that have a desk job. And I, you know, it's kind of heartbreaking.
Do you two like to read about health?
Sure.
So we recently read this book that truly, I mean, I have done years and years and years of studying about health, and this has changed my entire life. So it's called The Primal Blueprint, and it's by Mark Sisson. And you have to, you know, there's this whole paleo fad, and if that sounds too trendy for you, you have to just pretend that the word paleo isn't in there. But it's really just about living your life how your body was supposed to be living your life. You know, moving more, getting out in the sunshine more, getting great sleep. It's an awesome book.
Well, so, people have told me that I've been like a caveman, although they usually say I'm a Renaissance man. I have one of the best minds of the 14th century. So.
Yeah. So, Bulletproof. Is that...
That is the paleo. Yeah, yeah. And I know in that book he talks about bulletproof coffee. Like, he puts butter in his coffee.
That's...
Talk about getting your fat-soluble component there.
Wow.
My kids do that.
Yeah, my son recently sent me, and again, this all ties in, folks, into if you're healthy, you're going to be more productive at work. If you're healthy, you're going to make better decisions. I think we were mentioning in the opening that the CDC, Center for Disease Control, estimates that Americans, because of the poor sleep that we get, it costs our economy about $63 billion, with a B, billion dollars a year. And that's really only the primary effect. What it doesn't do, and what I thought about when I read that study, was it doesn't really go into the consequences of making a bad decision. So it's not only the accidents and the mistakes that you make,
right. But
you may make a poor choice because you're tired. You're fatigued. You don't have the time to do the research. You don't, you know, you make snap judgments. I mean, I know that's what happens with me. I'm so overwhelmed with work and I'm tired sometimes. So this, I think, is really where sleep ties into, you know, having a good night's sleep is so beneficial to having a successful business and running a successful business.
And I don't know about you, but if I get a bad night's sleep, I don't want to talk to, you know, I don't want to be my friendly chipper self. That's for sure.
Yeah. In fact, I mean, I will tell you that, last night I woke up at 2:30. I went to sleep reasonably early. I went to sleep about 10. But for some reason, I woke up at 2:30.
blame the supermoon.
Yeah, well, it could be. So I went up into my office, which I don't have my office in my bedroom, which is a good move based on what you told me before. And I worked through till about 6:30 this morning. I was very productive. But now the rest of the day I've been dragging, and I did try to take a nap, but it's not the same. And it's not that contiguous block of sleep. It's, you know, I'm not sure if power naps really work. I know that that was an in phase at one time, and many business people, many executives were told to take power naps. Do you take power naps? Would that ever work for you?
No, and I think I would do a lot better if I was able to catch one. You're listening to WBNH 105.1 Business IQ Radio, and we're here with our guest, Emily Aborn, who is an expert on wellness and sleep, I would say.
Yeah, so sleeping your way to health.
That's right. You know, you mentioned Blueprint, the Primal Blueprint. Can you tell us a little bit about what you liked about that book and what you got out of it?
Sure. So it's really, it's not just a diet, it's a lifestyle. So it's all about what you eat, but not only what you eat, but how you exercise, how you think. I'm going to try to summarize some of the ideas for you. So it starts out with talking about high quality, like animal proteins, plant proteins, and how your diet should be based on those things rather than grains. And then it talks about sleep and how we're really supposed to be getting like 8 hours or more a night. I mean, take how much sleep you're getting. You should be getting more. Everybody should be getting more. And then the way that you think about things, like he uses cavemen a lot, you know, so that's a little weird for me because I can't imagine myself as a cave woman. But just when you're outside, it shouldn't be just always walking on the same sidewalk and going down the same street. Like he really encourages this sense of adventure, which I think gives you, as you start to live this way, it gives you more energy in your whole entire life.
Mm. And so so it's a book you recommend that we read.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it.
And it sounds like it's a little bit of Robert Frost, The Path Less Taken. Find, don't fall into a pattern. Break it.
Very much so.
Yeah, there's a book that was written called Cybernetics back in the early 60s. That was one of the first breakthroughs in this area looking at this topic. And it was actually formed the foundation of some of the advertising that Madison Avenue was doing, as made famous in the Mad Men TV series, right? All of that stuff that people were doing. And part of the exercise that I forget the fellow's name, he was a PhD psychologist. He said, for men, for example, if you normally shave starting with the right side of your face, start in your lower left-hand corner tomorrow, you know? And if you have a certain pattern in terms of, you know, brush my teeth and then wash my hands and then shower, do the opposite. I mean, just what you're advocating here, breaking these patterns. We see this in terms of the whole effort in business to establish new relationships. I mean, how do business succeed? They always look to connect the dots in new and innovative ways. This is the whole concept of disruption in business, right? And it sounds like this book is very supportive of that overall concept.
And for me, it was drastic because I am a very routine person. I like to take this, you know, I like to be out the door at the same time every single morning. So making little shifts were hard at first, but it really, I've noticed a big, big difference.
Well, and adopting new behaviors and creating, I don't want to say new habits because we're talking about breaking habits, but, you know, changing one's usual routine is very hard to do. And I go for the little changes. If I can just do one little thing, like
that's all you need. Start small.
Well, it sounds like that's actually good advice for any of our listeners that are managers. If you have people who have to follow a routine, for example, if you have, I'll pick an extreme example. If you're running a call center where it's very repetitive and you're trying to follow a particular script and things like this, throw a little diversity into it. Throw a little change into it. Mix things up a little bit. It's what we found in terms of assembly lines, why the whole Theory X management style of assembly lines was replaced by Theory Y management, that we found people on assembly lines, they became bored. They weren't as productive. Mm. Quality suffered. Whereas giving people, empowering individuals to do things in a different and new way and innovate from the ground floor up is really what led the revolution since 19, basically 1975, where the whole quality revolution came into play. And that was all a huge shift in management. We should apply the same kind of concepts here. Just continue to do that. And as you say, even just start with little things, little bits and pieces to go forward.
It's a great comparison.
So, you know, there's the sleep and there's the diet. Something else I wanted to ask you about was, what about, and in particular for women, personal care products that we put on our face? I mean, our skin just absorbs all of that. What do you think about makeup?
I've been reading a lot about products that contain, so for women, I think it's important because of our hormones, especially, that we use things that don't contain like plastics and parabens, dyes. It's, your skin is absorbing everything that you put on it. So a good rule of thumb, easy rule of thumb, is if you wouldn't eat it, don't put it on your skin. You can find really healthy mineral makeups that don't contain all of, you know, the junk in them.
Yeah.
I think
that ties into what you were saying before about even the I guess, bedroom material you sell, because there's outgassing. Some of these materials that we are normally finding in stores, you know, they're decaying over time. There's an outgassing. There's a release of different kinds of chemicals. And if you're laying down and you've basically put yourself in a micro environment where you're surrounded by all of this stuff coming. And as you say, every pore in your skin is absorbing this stuff. It just can't be healthy.
So I went to a local big box store years ago. I bought my son this really adorable teddy bear and I brought it home and it smelled like, well, it was like styrene, like,
wow,
styrofoam. And it was so toxic. I mean, I had to throw it out. And so it's so important. This off-gassing problem with carpets. And
you know that new car smell everyone loves. That's just your car off-gassing.
Yeah. Boy, that's really true.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I will admit to the listeners, we have some water here in front of us and they're in little plastic bottles. But my wife refuses to have any plastic and she won't drink from anything that's plastic. We actually serve things in glass and we're very careful that the top and everything is not plastic, because that outgassing, it's absorbed in the water and then it gets into your body.
That's almost why I refused your water earlier, but then I realized I was too thirsty to say no.
You know, and we grew, Don, when you and I grew up, there was no bottled water, right?
Oh, no.
You brought a thermos of water or you got a jar and you, right? But there was never... The things you miss when you're young.
Well, and the other thing is, I think that's what led to the revolution when people began drinking a lot of soda. And as they began mixing that with caffeine, it began feeding this rush. And I think we're all familiar with it. And you were sort of alluding to it when we were talking before we began the show a little bit. You know, the cycle where people feel the need to start the day with a cup of coffee. And then around 10 o'clock in the morning, they begin to crash and they need to get something else going. And then again in the afternoon, they need another jolt. And so we have these highly caffeinated drinks that a few years ago, there was a lot written about how dangerous that is for college students. We're drinking these, you know, highly caffeinated drinks, mixing them with alcohol. Just crazy, crazy chemistry going on there.
We have really created a downward spiral for ourselves sometimes, you know, from the caffeine to the reaching for something like a carbs or chocolate in the middle of the afternoon and then more caffeine later in the day. Then you get home and you're all ramped up. So you have to take, you know, another great book is called The Sleep Revolution. And it's written by Arianna Huffington of the Huffington Post. Oh, that was a great book.
Oh,
and
really?
She goes into sleep aids. I cannot believe some of the things that happen to people when they take sleep aids. They are so out of it. There are two stories I remember in particular. One woman was filling up her bathtub and woke up the next day, like downstairs in the living room, and the bathtub was still filling up.
Yeah.
One woman ran over somebody with her car. She got in her car and drove somewhere when she was on a sleep aid, and she had no recollection of even getting in her car.
That's terrible.
Well, in some sense, we can also blame some of this on, and I don't mean to blame it on the internet, but I'll say we blame it on the internet, because business is now a 24-hour-a-day activity. If you are a hedge fund member or if you're doing stock trading, You'll go to sleep at 11 o'clock, but you'll wake up at 2:30 in the morning to pick up the opening of the European market sometimes. I mean, our sleep cycle is so interrupted by these other external activities because we're no longer living in a time zone. We're trying to live in multiple time zones because that's how business works. You know, the story of the fellow who gets up in the morning for the 6 a.m. You know, I used to have people out on the West Coast that were working for me, and I would wait to 9 o'clock in the morning, but that's 6 a.m. for them to start with a conference call, a weekly conference call. And then, you know, I used to return my phone calls to Europe. I was just driving to work and return my Asian phone calls as I was coming home that night. I mean, just constantly on the go. Mm. We don't have the luxury of living in one time zone anymore. And this all has a tremendous impact on us, I think.
You know, talking about time zones, the daylight savings time that we do, that 1 hour shift, I've heard, can actually be harmful to our health as we adjust. I think the rate of heart attack goes up.
Yeah. I loved the last one, but I'm not going to like the next one.
Right. Fall back instead of spring
yeah, exactly.
forward.
I like that extra. I like it to be light in the morning when I wake up. And so I find that nice. And I don't mind it right. getting dark earlier because, you know, I go to bed at like 9 o'clock. But the next one,
right.
it's hard for me. It's really challenging.
It's a jolt.
Yeah.
It's a jolt to the system. And it takes me a couple weeks to kind of get over it.
Yeah.
I wonder why I know we get more daylight time, but.
Yeah, and I think there have been some studies saying that things like alcohol consumption goes way up because people get depressed. Because, at, you know, like here, it can be dark at 4:30 in mid to late yeah. December. I mean, I really don't like it. And I had numerous people comment to me over the past couple of weeks, it's getting dark so early these days. I mean, it's really very noticeable, whereas. You know, in midsummer, we'll be 9 o'clock at night, and the sun will still be up, and there'll be
right.
twilight and bright light. Just
does every country turn their clocks back?
No. This was back in the old days for harvest, extending the harvest days, and trying to adjust to that.
So. We don't need to touch the clocks. We just need to change the dial on that sun so it stays up longer.
That's right.
Yeah, I think we have a problem. It's the precession of the Earth is the problem.
Exactly.
Right? We're tipped. But if you want to change that problem, move to Costa Rica or move down to the equator where it's basically 12-hour days, sunlight and darkness. You don't experience that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All year round?
All year round.
It stays, right? It's the poles that change the
course. Or Iceland.
Right.
Yeah. And if you go north, I mean, I've had the opportunity a couple of times to be north of the Arctic Circle, and I have been reading a newspaper at midnight outside by sunlight. It's quite something. Well, and I did it just to be able to say I did that.
We went to Iceland. Yep. In February, which is perfect time for Iceland. Oh. No. Okay, the flights were cheap.
Talk about 1:30 in the afternoon or something.
But the thing is, you know, what I noticed was that twilight, it wasn't that it was dark, 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 and then light, a short period of light, and then a long period of dark. It's that the twilight was extended. So sunrise took 3 hours.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it wasn't dark. You know, it got light. When we expected it to start getting light, but it took forever for it to actually come up.
Well, I want to circle back a little bit on sleep. I'll share a personal story with the listeners. We had policies in a couple of companies I work for that said if you were going to make more than a 12-hour flight, we would always allow our people to move up to business class to make it that much more comfortable and let them get some level of sleep.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a business person, doing clever things like that is really important. It's difficult. And you just came back recently. If you're going to Europe, because generally what you do is you fly into the morning and you meet the morning the next day. So you're uncomfortably up late at night flying over the Atlantic. And when you land, it's the beginning of the day and you feel this obligation to try to enjoy the day. You're not ready to go to sleep. So these are all considerations as business people we should try to factor that in. I know it's a big expense to let somebody go a day early and try to adjust or put them into business class. But I'll tell you, folks, based on the improved productivity, the better decision-making, the better negotiating positions that you're in, you mean your mind's sharp, it's worth the money. It really is.
What about teenagers? There's been so much discussion about starting the school day later.
I wish they would do that. I don't remember it ever being a problem for me, but I have three younger brothers who could now sleep until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I noticed they had a really hard time with mornings. And right. I agree with you. I don't think, I can't imagine my brain being on at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I can't, I don't know how these children do it.
Right. It's just, it's.
And it's, I had three children. And so he, and my oldest was my son, Douglas. You start the day off in an argument. Get up.
Oh, man.
Get up.
Yeah.
Come on, we're running late. I mean, you start off in an adversarial condition. It's not the right way to do it. He was always funny, though. He always said, don't worry, Dad, I have a plan. And he would just go back to sleep. He was,
that's
he
funny.
Was pretty tough on those things. And he turned out to be a pretty good guy. But I think you're exactly right. This, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for reform. These are old traditions that we're following here.
Mm. The you know, the schools, every year there seems to be an editorial or a push to reconsider the 7:30 school day. You know, the kids are at their desk at 7:30 in the morning.
That's... Or extending the school year as they do in Germany and Japan and places like this, where
right.
there's so much more knowledge to try to teach.
Right.
But, of course, that begins cutting into business because it affects people's vacations. It affects travel. You know, there's cascading effects.
Mm.
If you decide to extend the school year, we see this even here. I know if we have a lot of snow days, I remember, people who tried to book, you know, June vacations could be set off if suddenly the students could have to stay in school an extra 3 or 4 or 5 days to get the requisite number of days to get the state aid and the federal aid to move forward. So.
Mm. You're listening to WBNH 105.1, Bedford Community Radio, and our guest today.
Our guest today is Emily Aborn.
Thank you.
And we're delighted to have her here. So we've talked a little bit about adults and we've talked a little bit about teenagers. Any thoughts or advice in dealing with young children and infants and things like that in terms of are there different concerns? Are there different products for them? I'm going to guess that if you develop some habits in the beginning, they may help you have a healthier life.
I would agree. There's a movement right now called co-sleeping. So the two things I see, there's a movement right now called co-sleeping where parents sleep with the child in the bed. And according to the Primal Blueprint, that book I had mentioned earlier, that can be great for some people, especially if the baby is a good sleeper and the parents are good sleepers. The other thing is if you're going to be putting your baby in a crib or in another room, you want to make sure that the crib, the surface that the baby is on, is breathable. And of course, you want to make sure that there's nothing toxic in that crib mattress or in the bedding that the baby is. You know, babies have very, very delicate skin, and they actually breathe in 7 times more air than we do as adults. Or it's either they breathe in.
Per volume.
Yeah, yep, exactly. So I think it's really important to have that baby's face be like lifted up a little bit off of the mattress so that they have a clear airway and they can breathe. I've seen a mattress. Well, I sell a mattress which they can breathe. You and I could breathe all the way through the crib mattress. It's really amazing.
That's great.
So that's for the children who may turn over on their side, and because I know that was a concern. People were worried, would they be blocking their airways?
Right. Now they're saying you should put nothing in the crib except the fitted sheet, and then as the baby gets older, you can start using a blanket that would be in the whole crib, but the crib should be free of everything.
And any idea when you might introduce a pillow? When do people want to?
I think age 2 is the typical age for a toddler pillow. And, you know, it just starts out really, really flat because, again, you want that natural curve in your neck to be supported properly. So that you don't want something that's going to push the child's head way forward. And when they're on their side, crank their neck out of alignment.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I've in the past and want to do it again. Was doing some yoga. And of course, one of the very first opening and closing positions is to try to lay flat and try to align. And it's so difficult. I never realized how much curvature I get just from sitting improperly all day long and trying to get my whole spine down and my neck straight and get aligned.
Yeah, posture.
It's tough.
It's so, you know, you have to be mindful of it. If now and then I'll think, how am I sitting? And when I straighten up, I realize I was kind of all hunched over. It's it's very important to kind of be aware of your body.
There's a really good TED talk on how your posture affects your mood too. And like when you're negotiating, your posture can affect your negotiations, how you perceive yourself, how you perceive other people.
Exactly.
It's fascinating.
Exactly. And yeah, I feel different when I have better posture. But, you know, I mean, I'd like to sleep with a bunch of pillows, and in the middle of the night, I'll wake up and my neck is all stiff and I'll throw, you know, it's a lot of activity going on with the pillows.
Yeah, well, it's the difference between sleep and restful sleep, I guess. And there are different cycles we go through, right?
Right.
And REM sleep and non-REM sleep.
So, bedding, okay? I bought a pure silk comforter while we were in China. I saw how they made these things. It was incredible. They took one cocoon.
Wow.
And stretched it.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that like 4,875 times.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how, you know, the fibers just kind of intertwine, and it keeps me cool and warm. I don't get that.
I know. That's what that's what natural fibers do for us. Think about those wool socks that you can wear when you're running in the summer, and then you can wear them in the winter and they still keep you warm.
Right.
Or I wear a wool hat in the summer, or not in the summer, but in the spring.
Yeah.
And I can wear it all the way through the winter. It keeps me warm and cool. It's amazing.
So is silk one of those fibers that, you know, bedding kind of lends itself? So if we're looking for a good fabric in bedding, what would people want to look for?
Silk, wool, a high thread count cotton. A quality high thread count cotton, I should say, because they trick you a little bit.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
single ply and double ply, like your toilet paper. You
what would be a high? What would be a high thread count? Like 700 or 900?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, even 600 can feel really nice. And then another
Egyptian cotton or any cotton.
I have a preference for organic because cotton is actually one of the more one of the crops that they use the most pesticides on.
Hmm.
So people can have a reaction or an allergic reaction to a pesticide.
Oh, I never realized
I didn't know that
was.
Either.
Wow.
And the other thing, which is a really interesting fiber, is called kapok. And it's actually it kind of looks like that stuff that grows on the end of cattails. It's a very silky material.
Oh.
And it grows inside of a nut in the rainforest. And they use it for some children's toys, to stuff children's toys with as a natural alternative.
But it doesn't threaten the rainforest.
Correct.
Okay, it's from the nuts that fall from the trees.
Correct.
So it preserves. It's a market that actually you would want to preserve the rainforest.
Yes. I would add a caveat to all of these. You want to make sure everything is sustainable. Yeah. And even wool can be an iffy thing. So you have to make sure that the person you're getting it from is using wool that's treating the sheep right and then conversely treating you right.
Nice.
So we're coming towards the end of the show. And as we always do, we like to say, you know, to our different experts, what does the future hold? What do you see is next? What's coming? Should we look at some revolutionary product? Should we wait for robots to come and carry us into bed and take care of us? What does the future
animation
hold? We'll fly us in drones. What's going
to
happen?
Well, I certainly hope that the future holds more of us being able to. I know we're all working hard and we're busy with our jobs, but I hope that we're able to go back a little bit to what our bodies need. You know, waking up to the sunshine instead of that wah, 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 wah. And the other thing, as far as like mattresses and bedding go, I hope that people, my biggest piece of advice would be for the future is to try it in person and don't let these internet fads that you get, you know, to try this mattress for 100 days and then return it suck you in, because I can't tell you, I think 80% of people regret that decision.
Yeah, we actually bought a rather expensive set of sheets. After three washings, we were very disappointed in what was left. And we spent a lot of money on the product because of the supposed guarantee, and it just didn't work out. So
it's important to try it, feel it.
So based on that, as we mentioned, you have a store in the area. Can you tell us a little bit about if our listeners would like to follow up and talk to you, find you, maybe test out some of the kind of products that you have? Where are you located? How can they reach you? Do you have a website? Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, thank you for that opportunity. So the name of the store is Tucked In Organics, and we sell organic mattresses and natural bedding, crib mattresses, basically everything you need on your bed for a good night's sleep. It's located just 5 miles from here in Salzburg Square in Amherst. So that's right on Route 101. And
Amherst is sort of a sub part of Bedford, so it's okay.
Okay. Hey, then we'll let it slide.
Hey, no, it isn't.
And so you're in the Salisbury Square, so people can pull in there and find you.
Yep. And our website is www.tuckedinorganics.com.
Would you spell that? T-U?
T-U-C-K-E-D-I-N-O-R-G-A-N-I-C-S.com.
All one word. No
all one
hyphens
word.
Or anything like
that. Tucked in bed.
Right.
How long have you been there?
3 years.
Wow. Because, you know, I'm at the age where there are a lot of grandparents and what could
25,
be
an, yeah.
I'm 25, right. I'm Plus. A young grandparent. No, but what could be a better baby gift than giving your grandchild this, you know, beautiful, healthy, clean night's sleep?
And just tell us the hours that you're open so people can find you.
We are open Wednesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and then on Sundays, 12 to 5.
Great.
And one thing I do love is Mondays and Tuesdays, I always make appointments if people want to come in and see the store because it's nice to have that opportunity to have nobody else in there and you get
sure.
to make an appointment.
Good. Well, our guest today has been Emily Aborn, and I think, as you've heard, an expert in sleep and better living. And I think we all understand the implications that this has on business in so many ways. We've touched on a lot of those issues. As well as just the health, not only individual health, but the health of the family, as we were saying, you know, the impact of having teenagers and other people like that. We have a little tradition that we like to follow. I'm going to go get the kettle here.
Oh, God, bring out the kettle.
All right. Boy,
I don't know if I can carry that.
It's getting a little lighter. I mean, I do pump iron here to try to be able to lift this thing, but I can hear a little bit. So this is what we do is we have some quotes in here. And what we ask our guests to do is to draw from these quotes and read it out to us. And it's words of wisdom that either Andrea has found online or she just made up. I can't tell. So.
You know, I wish I checked Ben Franklin's quotes for something about sleep.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, they didn't believe much in it back then. They were always inventing something.
Oh, please hurry. This thing's getting heavy.
Oh, gosh. Sorry.
Oh, I think that's why it's a big long one.
Wow, this is a long one. Okay. Ooh, I'm tired just reading it. Just kidding. Okay, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things that you didn't do than by the ones you did do. So throw off the bowlines, sail away from safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, and discover. Mark Twain, perfect for today.
Yeah, that really picks up on some of things you talked about. Listen, Emily, thank you very much for being our guest. I think we're going to designate you the official subject matter expert on sleep for Business IQ Radio.
Yeah, it was so nice to have you. And Don and I are going to take a field trip to the store.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. So thank you. And Andrea, I will turn it over to you to end the show.
So Bedford listeners, I want you to remember, you can spend more than you make, but you can only do it for so long.